Hello and welcome to the Final Bell, the official Geelong Cats podcast. It is great to have you with us. Lots to celebrate today. Fantastic win by the Cats over the Saints. We're brought to you by Panther Tyres, as we are every single week. Big thanks to all the guys at Panther Tyres. Hope everyone's going well there. Hope the whole team is keeping safe and looking after themselves. If you need anything for your car, go chat to the guys at Panther Tyres. Stokesy's tried them out. He's here with us, as he is every single week. Stokesy, welcome to you.
Thank you, Cameron.
Scotland, you're set up in your recording studio, looking absolutely magnificent. Great to have you with us again.
Yes, Cameron, my mobile studio is in work again.
We've got a big podcast coming up. Diana Taylor, the Vice President of the Cats, is going to join us. So we're going to talk some board level stuff, the big high-end stuff. We're going to get to your questions. We're, of course, going to talk about that fantastic win and also touch on a little bit of Friday night, the huge clash, I think first versus third, Port Adelaide taking on the Cats. Before we do, Stokes, I have to compliment you. You are looking especially colourful at the moment with your jumper. Can you tell us, what are you rocking there?
Look, it was AIMS Hoodie Day on Monday, the 10th. And what they are is an organisation, a group that help with Indigenous kids with mentoring through high school and university. So I've been a massive supporter of them for a long, long time. And their hoodie day was on Monday. They send their hoodies out. And, me, Cameron, I'm a pretty plain man. So when this bright, colourful thing came into the mail, it's not me. But I love the support, being able to, give our kids a platform to be able to showcase what they can do. And they do some amazing work and some amazing people involved. So I'm wearing it proudly today. Even though it's not my type of colours.
Oh, I love it. We both need one, Cameron.
Yes, we're looking rather drab and grey at the moment compared to Stokesy, but good on you, Stokesy, supporting AIM there. So any website or anyone who is interested?
Yeah, yes. If you just Google AIM, yes. You should find it, Cameron.
Put you on the spot there. Yeah, use Google. That's always the best option. Well done, Stokesy. It is very nice. Righto, let's get to some footy. Let's talk about Monday night. I sat down on the couch for Monday. It's good, the early games. It really suits my...
Well, you're normally in bed, so correct. Yeah, it is positive.
Sit down at 10 past six and watch the footy. I thought, I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe the Saints, the way they're playing, their speed, is it going to trouble us? What's going to go on? Early on, there were little signs. Okay, this is going to be a really good close game of footy. And then the Cats just went bang. What an impressive performance it was.
It was a masterclass, wasn't it? I mean, we sometimes get a bit frustrated with the kick possession game, and it can drive you a bit nuts. But you could see what they were doing, and St Kilda, it just frustrated them. And then what I liked was we were then able to just flick the switch. And I want to see that more in a way, like, because this team, this Geelong team, can score quickly and heavily when it sort of flicks that switch. So I thought it was great how they just tactically just gave St Kilda nothing they wanted.
It was remarkable early when Geelong just controlled the footy, and it was that kick. And it was must have been frustrating St Kilda, and it looked like they were dominating. But quarter time, scores pretty close. And I thought,
You had a good feel though, didn't you?
Yeah, had a good feel. But it was still a high possession game, and for all that possession dominance, it was...
Well, Mitchie Duncan's man had done it all by himself.
Oh, yeah. Mitch's starting positions in that first quarter as defending from the wing weren't ideal, Matthew, but beyond quarter time, incredibly impressive. Just talk for a second about the big tomahawk, shall we? Oh, you see, I was worried that Hub Life and the buffet might have led to Hawkey just perhaps tailing off a little bit for the rest of the year. But he's looking as fit as I've ever seen him. He's moving better and just playing incredible football.
Incredible footy. Watching him is actually a delight at the moment. I'm a really big Hawkey fan, not only as a bloke, but as a player. And I pumped him up a few times on this, and I think he is our most important player. Has been for a long, long time. One of our most important players. But at the moment when we got a hold of him defensively, I thought it was when we took control of the game. When we were able to set up that wall, that great wall of China on the half back line with the two old fellows who really held up amazingly well in the game with the quickness of the St Kilda players to be able to hold up that wall and then be able to just go fast through the midfield into a four line, a really open four line that gave Paddy Hawke and Gary Rowan to get one-on-one targets on them. I mean, it just opened up the game so much and we taught them a lesson.
Gary Rowan,
superb. The Coaches Association votes have just come through.
Oh.
Now, not to question Chris Scott or Brett Ratton.
Normally it's me copying this.
Tom Hawkins only got 5 votes from the coaches in total. So the votes were Sam Menegola, who was excellent, 8 votes. Gary Rowan, as we just said, excellent, 7. O'Connor, excellent, but 5. Hawkins, 5. Tui, 3. Duncan, 2. I had Hawkey just owning that game.
I think the one thing I'd say with Gary Rowan was Gary Rowan kicked 3 goals in the second quarter when not that St Kilda were coming, but the game was still there to be had. I think Sam Menegola early on in the game was really instrumental in being able to get back, help our defence and then be able to move forward. But also, too, at the same time, Hawkey, key forward, dominated the game from start to finish. I would have gave him 5 votes. I would have gave him 10 votes if I could have. But, those boys weren't too far behind. But Shark O'Connor, giving no space. I think he had 4 possessions for the whole game.
Yeah, he didn't touch in the first half. He's been their best player.
It was a normal effort by the Shark, but Hawkey by a mile for me.
And that's the thing that's probably got me most excited at the moment is this year has felt like Selwood's had some injuries. Dangerfield's playing some good footy, but not the dominant, unbelievable Dangerfield.
Playing more a role, isn't he?
Yeah. The best players consistently for the Cats, leave aside Tommy Hawke, because he is one of the superstars of the team and he is playing like a superstar. But the best players for the year have been Cam Guthrie, Sam Menegola, Mark O'Connor's been terrific. It's been Brandon Parfitt at different times. I know he's had a couple of in and out of the teams with managed and injuries. Early on in the year, Parfitt was terrific. It's that next level, that next almost next generation of players behind the megastars who we've been craving to jump up to that A-grade level. They are making the jump at the moment. And that's what's got me most excited. When you see the depth now within the team, it really looks good for the remainder of the season. Huge test Friday night, of course, but the depth is there, and that's wonderful to see.
But even when, like, they're resting some of the kids, Simpson, Fogarty, etc., the other guys who come in, you don't lack anything. Do you know what I mean? They play the exact same role. Atkins, there's like this there's this rotation of about 10 of them that they come in and out, but it doesn't impact on the team. It's quite impressive.
Stokesy, I just want to pose... I'm only playing devil's advocate here because I thought they were superb.
Oh,
Geelong were excellent. Fault. Geelong were excellent. Were St Kilda just showing a little bit of their youth and maybe immaturity and after a terrific run, were they a bit off or did Geelong simply make them look as bad as what they looked?
I think there's a little bit of both, Cameron. I think when you are a young team like St Kilda are, you're always going to have a little bit of a trough in your consistency. And I think they've been up for a while. I don't think it's a bad thing for St Kilda to give them a bit of a reality check that if you don't bring your A game, you can get taught a lesson by anyone. I think, but also in saying that, I think Geelong put them in a position that where they weren't able to fathom anything to do when it comes to attacking the game, being able to stop our forward line. Even our midfield, like I think, Cam Guthrie obviously had a bit of a quieter game. He got looked after by, I think Steele had a bit of a job on him at parts of the games, but he was still able to have an impact on the game. And I think we really just smashed him in the midfield, to be honest. I mean, you have a look at some of their really, top A-graders and Gresham, and well, they're probably not A-graders, but Gresham and Steele and these type of players, they weren't able to have the impact they've had over probably the last 8 or 10 weeks.
It's a good
Cameron, point. I have a confession too.
Yes, Scotland.
The move that we've all been a little bit gun-shy in embracing, blitz to the wing and then floating back whenever he wants to, I'm starting to come round because Harry and Lockie Henderson are more than doing the job at the minute. I'm starting to come around to this flexibility. I know you two traditionalists.
Scotty.
Hey, what, you didn't think it worked on the weekend?
It worked on the weekend.
I'm not saying it works every week, but I think you have to embrace this modernization of the role, Cameron.
Okay. I accept the premise that you're putting forward that on most recent examples...
Thank you.
It has been working. However, against a midfield
is
more experienced, where it's not just a complete midfield domination.
No, I understand.
Had on
that.
Monday night, the ball's coming down quick. Boak and Rosie and Wines and that are flying the ball down, or Sheed, as he was terrific the other day, Stokesy.
He was.
Yo, Tim Kelly, Nat Nui's dominance flying down. And it's getting there a bit quicker and the winger isn't able to get there as often. I still like Blitzarves as our last man.
Okay. I'm just pointing out on current evidence. I'm not against what's happening.
The evidence that should suggest, Scotty, is when we do go to finals, it doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work if he starts in the ruck at the centre back.
Don't get so aggressive, Scotty.
I'm still not over that.
And the thing is,
Harry
Taylor and Hendo were unbelievable on the weekend, but they were able to bully a 19-year-old kid. They're not going to be able to bully Charlie Dixon this week. He's going to be doing the bullying. So what we need is a really strong person there. Not saying that the Harry and Hendo aren't, but if we have our best defender, and probably the best in the competition with Andrews from Brisbane, to be able to steady his shit there. You can't just go from playing this rate or the minor rounds to then go into the finals and think that you can switch it back. It just won't work.
Who's going to play on Big Peter Laddams this week, Scotty?
How good is... I mean, I love his hair to start with. And he... Seriously, I kept watching that going, you're getting better and better by the second out here.
He's kicking bananas. He's taking marks. He's slotting them.
He's just one of those big blokes who gets in the way but starts doing the right things with it.
Big pointy elbows and knees. Those big fellas who just hurt whenever they
kick. He kind of looks like Mummy at the start. You know when Mummy first started, and he was just all he was a bit of a huff and puff and had little fatty little rolls out there. That way, Frickickson turned into an absolute superstar. He looks like he's got the makings of. I'll learn how to do the other part soon.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Big Mummy was run off his feet on Friday night, just to swap topics for a sec, early. And then Mummy just decided that, okay, enough's enough. I'm just going to destroy anyone. Doesn't matter if it's teammate or opposition, who's within a 5-metre radius of every single stoppage. And I reckon he dragged the Giants back into that game on Friday night just by being a wrecking ball. What a competitor he is.
So. I can't even remember who they played, Cameron. I'm sort of a bit lost in more information. Who they play?
Essendon and brought him over the top.
That's right.
Okay, so the footy frenzy is confusing us all what round we are up to, so I'm not even going to try and guess what round we've got coming up. But 4-day break again. What's the changes going to be this time around?
Well, our man Shawley, Stokesy. He's making headlines.
Oh, Cockatoo won't start this week.
Well, why not?
It'll be the week after.
Yeah,
Protect him against Port Adelaide. He doesn't need protection. He's superhuman, the Cocky.
Well, his body hasn't proven to be superhuman yet, Scotland.
Come on, we're running out of weeks. Just unleash him.
Give him the greatest opportunity to succeed.
Well, all right then. Well, what are we doing with Sav? We've kept him out. And the forward line looked nice. Reece Stanley held up. But what do you do against Port? I'd bring him back in. There you go.
I'd bring Sav in and rest Reece. I think we need...
Really? He's had 1 week, hasn't he?
2 games, hasn't he?
2 games in 8 days.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought he was all right in his return.
I'm not saying that he wasn't, Scotty.
Just always go to the negative, don't you, Scotty? You've woken up on the wrong side of the bed.
No, I'm up and about. I'm excited.
Put your mask on too, please. Jesus.
No, I'm not allowed to in the vehicle, my studio. Who had, like, Fogg got rested? There's a few who sort of just have Simpson, who have been regulars. What do we do, gentlemen?
Well, who comes out? Who's at high risk right now for three games in 12? Who?
Well, Harry seems to be going all right. Close, Atkins. What are those guys? You know, around the
front. Atkins, where one day. Leave Atkins in.
No, leave Atkins in.
Close has played all of them.
He's been very good too, hasn't he? Yeah. He's just his competitiveness, just does the right his ball use. Yeah. And him and Fogarty probably fighting for a similar position. I know Fogs went up on ball a little bit more the week before, but
Henry rolled his ankle late. That could be one.
So you might rest him. I think I think Fogs with his history obviously needed a week to get through. I think Closey being a young kid, he's not a young kid, he's obviously a bit mature, but obviously playing I think three games in a row. Give him a break, give his body some time. I mean, hitting AFL is hard enough, let alone playing three games in 12 days. So being able to give him a bit of a rest. I'm not too sure out there. I think do you want your best players in this week because you've obviously got an eye that we're playing Port, but do you have to rest a Cam Guthrie or Menegola or Mitch Duncan who have done a mountain of work? At the same time, you're playing Port, so you want to be able to put your best show on. And as a player, there's no way you could tell me to rest this week. But I'm trying to think of a way, trying moving forward, that it is still a long season to go. And
Stokesy, that's a good point you make, though. Coaches and fitness staff are having that same conversation, saying, okay, it's not just about this Friday night. It doesn't matter as much as being right come finals and managing our players. But as a player, first versus third,
Friday night football.
Doesn't matter what anyone says about footy frenzies and everything like that. Friday night is still the big showcase.
Yep.
You want to play. Just do not, right now as a player, do not take me out of this team. I want to be part of this. And I want, Port were magnificent against Richmond. And I want the challenge of taking them down.
Mitch Duncan, I couldn't imagine him wanting to be rested. You know, anyone who's got any worth their salt will want to play. I do understand there's more important things than a Friday night game against Port. But like you said, as a player, there'd be nothing. These are the one time where I miss football. It's Friday night footy, big occasion. Just, I'd love to be back.
Top of the table clash.
Top of the table clash. Other times, I couldn't care less. training, winter, don't miss it.
And a little pump up for our man, Kenny Hinckley. What a job he's doing. But let's hope it's not this Friday night. We've got to take a break because Vice President of the Cats, Diana Taylor, is going to join us. I hope you got the questions ready, Scotty. We're going to talk big, high-level stuff, and that might be out of
Could be above my head, Cameron.
We're going to need you here. Before we do take a break, it's important to stay healthy while staying at home. That's why GMHBA have partnered with Keezer. If you're a GMHBA member with extras cover, you can access telehealth or in-centre physio from the team at Keezer with no out-of-pocket expenses up to your annual limits until September 30. Waiting periods and sub-limits apply. Search GMHBA Keezer for details and stay healthier at home. Have a bit more of a think about maybe some more ins and outs restings, and we'll get to that.
One sort of concern that could creep in, a change of environment, Cameron. There you go. I'll just tease you with that.
By the way, this is how crazy. Where is Friday night's game?
Adelaide? No, I think it's Metricon. A Geelong game, yeah.
Metricon Stadium. Okay. So Port are flying back to the Gold Coast. Gotcha.
Correct.
Let's take a break. Diana Taylor up next.
Joel Selwood here. Cats members, I hope you're staying safe. These difficult times have put a lot of pressure on our community. To give back, a deserving 2020 Cats member will have the opportunity to win my Ford Ranger Raptor. You can nominate yourself or a member who has undergone hardship, risen above challenges, or doing good. We want to hear of loyal members staying Geelong strong. Enter now at geelongcats.com.au to go into the draw of winning my Ford Ranger Raptor.
Welcome back. It's great to have your company on to the final bell, brought to you by Panther Tyres. Again, I say it every single week, but big thanks to everyone at Panther Tyres for their support throughout this season, being able to bring this podcast to you. We've managed to talk our way through a pause in the season. We're talking through hub life and this footy frenzy we've got going on. So it's been a lot of fun. A big thanks to Panther Tyres for us being able to do that. Hopefully you're enjoying it. Hopefully you don't yell too much at us as you're listening to our podcast. But you won't yell at this next person, our next guest, because she's been doing a wonderful job for the Cats through probably the most one of the most difficult times in the Geelong Footy Club's history as they work their way through this COVID-19 pandemic. I speak of the Vice President of the Geelong Football Club, Diana Taylor. Diana, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Cameron. Good morning. Hi, Matthew. Hi, Scott. Great to be with you guys.
You're taking a risk here, Diana, coming on this. This is...
Scott, I've had the benefit of watching you blokes over the last couple of weeks. I know how this rolls. I'm feeling prepared.
Brian Cook is scarred. He might be back for a little while.
He told me he enjoyed it.
Just for our listeners out there, Diana, can you tell us about your experience on the board when you first joined and a little bit how you ended up on the Cats board and part of the team that's steering the Cats through this period?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Cameron. I started my footy journey. In fact, I probably haven't been at it quite as long as you guys. I say that very tongue-in-cheek, of course. I started my footy journey in 2001 at the Western Region Footy League as a member of the tribunal there. So equivalent of the GFL, but up in the Western Region of Melbourne. And being a lawyer by trade, I thought that that was the best possible way for me to get involved in footy. I'm a Geelong girl, born and bred in Geelong, but had moved up to Melbourne for work, as many people do, and wanted to get involved in the community and love my footy, love the Cats, but certainly community footy was the best way for me to do that. So as with most things in footy, you start with one job and then you end up with 20. particularly as most people know, you know, on a voluntary basis, there's a whole lot of work to go around and not that many people to do it. So I started in the Western Region Footy League as a much younger lawyer, a much younger individual, and had 10 great years at the Western Region Footy League and ended up as president of that league. So there were 7,500 players at the time. I think I was the first woman to be appointed to that role, president of a men's metropolitan footy league, which was absolutely fantastic. Everybody loves their footy in the west of Melbourne. So we came down the highway as far as Werribee in the Western Region Footy League. And then in that time, I sort of had some other jobs given to me. I was put onto the VFL tribunal, where I first encountered a couple of Geelong players, with Geelong, of course, hosting a team, was the first AFL club to host a team in the VFL. So I
Please
came
tell
into
me you had Matthew. Did Stokesy ever front up to that tribunal?
And you let him off, sure.
No, he didn't, but I rubbed out Tom Lonigan.
the nicest bloke in the world.
Tom, well, it was a brain fade, but Tom Lonigan was on my list, and the worst part about it was not only am I a Geelong person, had to declare my interest, I rubbed out Tom Lonigan. He was about to play his first game for the Cats, so that made it even worse, but I do say all was forgiven because Geelong appealed it and he got off on appeal. And I actually remember, I don't know whether you guys remember, but when I first joined the board, so I had 10 years there and then was given a fabulous opportunity to join the Cats board in 2010. And I remember that Brian Cook said to me, look, I've got to introduce you to the guys. I've got to introduce you to the players and the coaching panel. I said, look, that'd be great because I've just turned up after a few years out of Geelong and no one knows who I am. So introductions would be great. And Brian, I don't know whether you guys remember this. I obviously wasn't very memorable if you don't, but Brian put me in front of you blokes in about April of 2010 as one of my first introductions into the Geelong Footy Club. And I had to stand in front of the group, happy to do it, but I had to stand in front of the group and basically talk about who I was and what I was there to do. And the Tom Lonigan story I thought was a good icebreaker. And the funniest part about it was Tom didn't even remember. So
they might have just shot Bambi. You've shot Bambi.
I did. I did.
Name some other names for us. Who else did you have to rub out during that time?
Look, you guys were pretty good. That VFL list was fairly well controlled, well coached, well controlled. There were more on the Collingwood list during that time. I think the Shores were in there. And of course, things got pretty hot and heavy at the VFL and at the MCG on those nights when a cast of thousands would turn up, because of course most of those guys were hoping to play, the following week or the week thereafter, and they didn't want to have themselves rubbed out on the VFL. But it was full on, cameras everywhere, umpire evidence. It was old school, and I absolutely loved it. So I think it was through all of that and just with some stuff that I'd done around Geelong that I had a great opportunity in 2010 when Frank Costa, who was in his last year as president during that first year I was on the board, asked me to join, and then, of course, put myself forward to the members because, of course, all the board members are voted in by our membership and have been very lucky and privileged to be holding the job in that time. And then I stepped into the very big shoes of Bob Gartland in December of last year when Bob retired from the board as vice president, and I was fortunate enough and very honoured to be appointed as VP in December of last year.
And the first female to hold that within the club's entire history since 1859. So an incredible achievement. Just tell me one thing, though, stepping into Bob's shoes. Have you got the same sort of historical collection that Bob has right now? Have you converted your garage into a Cats memorabilia setup?
Oh, Cameron, I don't have the budget, quite frankly. And I don't have the leave pass that Bob has from Philippa to be able to turn half my house into a museum on behalf of the Geelong Football Club. So I think it's best to leave that with the experts. All I'm doing is wearing a lot of blue, as you can see from my backdrop. I've got Geelong theming going on. And I think that's probably about it. I like to think I bring some other things, but I'm not daring to step into that historical space. Bob occupies that very, very well.
Diana, sorry, Scotty.
No, you're on, mate.
Obviously, in 2010, when you came to the club, it was a very male-dominated sport. Obviously, without the AFLW, what's the transition you've seen from looking in internally from the club's perspective, where you've gone from a club where there wouldn't have been too many women around to now we have our own women's team, a VFLW's team. We have a lot of women in our footy department. What's the change been from being able to see it from an intern like yourself?
Yeah. Look, thanks for that question, Matthew. Terrific question. You're right. Look, at that point, there weren't too many women occupying very senior positions at the footy club. Certainly there are a few women. I think there are at least two or three who are on the executive team at that point, but not too many in footy. And that has grown exponentially over this period. I think one of the conversations that I certainly wanted to start, and Brian and Frank and the board and the whole of the club was very happy to have, was this conversation that we framed under our Respect for Diversity framework. And as you guys know, because you guys were a part of that development, that was about ensuring that there was a level playing field for everybody at our footy club, and no matter what your background. And look, I came to footy with just a passion and a want for hard work and I want to contribute. I didn't come from a playing background, obviously, and I certainly, I didn't. My dad hasn't had any AFL experience, so I was just me, like thousands of other people, wanting to have a crack. And I think what that framework did was just to say to everybody, this club is a place for you, whether you're a member, whether you're a member of the footy department, whether you're a member of our staff. There's a place for everybody at this footy club. And I think, our footy club has never been a place that tolerates poor behaviour, that tolerates people not being respected. So the groundwork was all there. But our conscious thought about how do we get more people into this club with great skills who are different from us, i.e., man who has played AFL football, how do we bring diversity of experience into our footy club? Because that's going to be really important to grow our mindset to make us better people, to improve our performance in every single way. So there was a deliberate intention, you know, from, I think, in and around that point, which started to grow. And one of the things that I think the club has done beautifully, and one of the things that's been led by the board and the executive team of the footy department, is the absolute desire and want to have women's footy as part of our program. And one of the things that we have to do as board members is get ahead of the curve, get ahead of where everybody else is going. And it took 4 years. It took 4 years from the point that we decided that, yep, this is a great thing for our footy club to really push women's footy. We want to be able to support our community. We know that there's going to be an avalanche of interest as soon as we press the button on women's VFLW, first of all, and then AFLW. And that's exactly what happened. But it took 4 years of hard slog. Our first application, as you guys know, was knocked back in at the AFL at that point. And we just had to keep going till we got over the line. And I think that certainly with AFLW, but also our conscious thought about getting the best possible people into our club, no matter what their background, has seen a significant increase in the number of women participating in our footy club, but also people from diverse backgrounds, because, of course, diversity is not just about gender. And look, I'd love to hear your opinion on it, guys. I mean, my personal view is I think it's made us a better place. I think it's opened up mindset. But, you know, what do you guys think? What are your impressions from that point? Because, you know, you guys were sitting there while all this was going on and were absolutely instrumental in pushing it forward for us.
I love that our club's just, they're just part of our club now. They're not the women's team. They're part of our club. And the fact that when we're in there and the AFLW girls come in, they kick us out of the gym. they throw us around and tell us what to do. I really like that. It's their space as much as anyone's. But one thing I don't like is Rocky's music. So the AFLW member, she comes in and she blasts a really high techno. I'm an old person. Diana, or Tom Petty and John Fogerty music. And
John Fogerty.
And cool cat like Rocky is, she comes in and puts her techno music in. Apart from that, I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And throw in too, Stokesy, the talent that's been able to come in from, you know, up what we call upstairs, the admin area, but in the executive team. And Sarah Birch, when she first started at the club and... Yeah. As an intern and now such an important member of that executive team. Like, she's somebody I've always lent on and just to get a greater understanding of when I was playing it, and even as captain, every now and then you get in the trap of it's all about footy. That's the only thing that matters. How we prepare, how we train, how we play. Let's try and win, do everything we can. And you close your mind a little bit. Every now and then, the need to look up and see what else is going on. And she's somebody I've certainly used in that space to get a greater understanding about what else is important out there. But the amount of talent that's able to come into the club, again, regardless of male, female, having played footy, having not played footy, whatever the background, it doesn't matter as long as we're trying to attract the best people who are there for the right reasons. I think that's been huge. Scotty, I know you had a question. Far away.
Oh, no, Diana, it's been an unprecedented time for the world the last 6 months, but I can only imagine how hard it's been from a football club's perspective, the tough decisions you've had to make to just keep everything ticking over. Can you give a little bit of an insight into what that's been like?
Thanks, Scott. I think the last 6 months have been just... out of the box, completely uncontemplatable. And one of the things that I keep coming back to when I think about it is that at the season launch this year, our president, Colin Carter, was able to stand at the season launch. This is in, February, start of March, before it all broke, and said, next month we're going to be debt-free for the first time in 50 years. Yeah. Which was just a massive effort from our entire community, all of our membership, our donors, our sponsors, to get to that point. And that had been a deliberate strategy from the board and the club and everybody in leadership to get ourselves to that position, because it's a skinny business, as you know, in terms of cash flow and profit. And, you know, we've got to keep making sure that we're in the best possible position to win premierships. So everything goes into that. So we get to that moment in time where we've got about 4 weeks to go before we get to that point, and then we're not at that point. Mm. I mean, some of the things I think about, Scott, I do think about the history of our, just because I've tried to get some perspective myself in relation to all of this. I think about the history of our footy club. I think about the challenges that we've overcome. I think about the fact that when Frank and Brian first arrived, you know, there was a potential that, that footy may not have been played in Geelong, that we were going to have to head up the highway, and that led to the strategy associated with the redevelopment of the stadium. You know, very, very hard yards. And I think about the fact that footy is never easy, and certainly, you know, Geelong people, Geelong members, Geelong players know what hard work and slog is about. So while what is happening at the moment in the world and to our community is absolutely terrible, I think about the resilience of our people, and I think about the resilience of our members, and just and as Brian was saying to you guys, you know, over 85% of our members have stuck with us. They've left their money in the club. They're allowing us to do what we do. And, you know, those people are going to be with us in 2021. Our members are absolutely magnificent. But from a club and a board perspective, it has been very tough. You guys talked last week about the fact that we had to make some really difficult, awful decisions associated with our staff. I mean, these people are our family. That's how I feel about it. I feel that the Geelong Footy Club is my family and the people in the footy club are my family. And to have to make those decisions has been, you know, pretty horrendous. I think that having built ourselves to a point, because I've been in board meetings over the last 10 years where, you know, the dollars have been really tough. We've had to go into the next stage of a redevelopment. How are we going to fund it? Where are we going to find our money? And we're back having those discussions again, you know, in the last 6 months and trying to make sure that everything balances up. So it has been tough. It's been tough on our leaders. It's been tough on all of our staff. It's been tough on our players. But it's also life. And we know that, and we keep our thoughts and minds on what's going out and on in the community with our community members. So what we've done is, you know, we've gone back to the drawing board in many respects. What do we stand for? What does the future of this footy club look like? We've got a fantastic future ahead of us. We've just got to make sure that we get to that point, and we want everybody with us along that point. So great communication with our members. Braith Cox, of course, has been really instrumental in driving that on behalf of the footy club to make sure our members know what's going on from week to week, and making sure that people know that we do have a plan and that we are going to be okay, because we are. They're the sorts of things that we've been focusing in on, and now putting a new plan together to make sure that we get there.
That's an outstanding message, Diana. And I know, as a former player and also a crazy Cats fan since I've been a little boy, I know the club is in very, very good hands. And obviously having a CEO like Brian Cook helps. He's been through ups and downs and everything in between his time at West Coast and also Geelong. But to have such a supportive, strong, inclusive board is crucially important, as we've seen throughout the history of footy. When you don't have that stability, even the best CEO in the world can't do the job that they're there to do. So it's great to hear. We could keep chatting to you all day long. We're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately. But we've really enjoyed having you on here. And I think I did see somewhere Colin Carter quoted as saying that 2020 was going to be his last season. I don't know if that changes now with everything that's gone on, and maybe he has one more year. But it's great to hear that you, along with the other board members, the club is in terrific hands to steer us through this difficult time. So thank you so much for your time, Diana. Hopefully we're watching a Cats victory on Friday night as well, and know you'll be cheering on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and keep up the great work. It's been wonderful entertainment over the course of the season.
There you go. You're— there's one person who thinks we've been doing great work, Scotty. That's I haven't heard great.
No, that was a prerequisite for Diana to come on, Cameron.
Not at all.
Something at the end. Sting in the tail.
thank you, Diana. Let's take a break. We'll get to your questions up after the break.
Joel Selwood here. Cats members, I hope you're staying safe. These difficult times have put a lot of pressure on our community. To give back, a deserving 2020 Cats member will have the opportunity to win my Ford Ranger Raptor. You can nominate yourself or a member who has undergone hardship, risen above challenges, or doing good. We want to hear of loyal members staying Geelong strong. Enter now at geelongcats.com.au to go into the draw of winning my Ford Ranger Raptor.
Welcome back. It is great to have you with us on To The Final Bell, brought to you by Panther Tyres. We're also very kindly supported by Deakin University, and digital is in Deakin University's DNA with 40 years of experience in distance and online learning. Discover why they're the number one Australian public university for overall educational experience. Premium, proven, loved, study online at Deakin. It's time to get to your questions. And just every now and then, Scotty, we get questions sent in that they give to us. It's wonderful stuff. And we do appreciate all of our fan questions. And question number one just brought a smile to my face as I flicked through our rundown here. And
it smells like a setup. But keep going.
Yes, it does.
The question from an Amelia, A-M-E-L-I-A. No surname. Can you ask Matt why he seems incapable of emptying the bin? Hashtag ISOLife.
Oh,
hang on.
This is gold.
In brackets, it says Stokesy's partner. We must be talking about the lovely Amelia McRae.
Ah, this is a direct message to you on Instagram or something, Cameron?
It's here in the fan questions. It's been done through the correct channels. I wouldn't use my power at all to put other questions to the top of the order.
Is this how dirty you're going to get, fellas?
Are you incapable of emptying the bin?
Well, I'm not. I just like to stir the pot, Cameron.
Oh.
I like to leave them full just to watch her reaction. I mean, you know, sometimes in ISO life, you've just got to do whatever gets you through. And what gets me up and you through is just seeing her just have a little bit of a panty about the bins. I just like to leave them extra full. All right?
That is impressive.
Are you bringing much else to the table, though? Are you helping with anything else, or it's just all a little...
I do all the nappies. Thank you very much.
Do you? Good boy.
I'd take the oldest, Wilbur, when the garbage...
Hang on. And just stop right there. You do all the nappies, but you just chuck the dirty nappies into the bin and leave them there and let it fill to the brim.
No comment. I take him out to the garbage trucks when I get here at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
Thank you. He loves his garbage trucks. To the garbage garbage truck drivers. They know Wilbur very well. Start throwing stones, Cameron. All right. I'll get on to Dodgy and
this could be a regular segment.
Yes, actually. I don't know what I've started there. It came through the legitimate channel, Stokesy. I didn't manipulate this.
Really,
the fact she listens to our wonderful podcast is a magnificent thing and knows how to contact us.
Well, Dodgy, Nicole, the lovely Nicole Lean, they have this little thing going on about something about we just making this podcast up. That he's coming here for an hour and a half.
A podcast is an excuse for three blokes to just chat for an hour.
It is.
Yeah, well, I would have thought so. thank you, Amelia. We do appreciate you listening and sending questions in. Keep them coming, please.
I'd love to be on the wall in that house in about half an hour's time.
You're assuming, Scotty, that Stokesy's going to leave that room for half an hour. Maybe about 3 hours. You'll still be in there.
I'm in the spare room. There's a bed right there. I need to catch up on some sleep.
All right. This question is from Daniel. Do you think Hawkins and Menegola deserve to be all Australian? I personally do. What do you think about Daniel's question there? Scotland, start with you.
Well, Sam Menegola has certainly exceeded my expectations, Cameron. And
all Australian,
he needs to be on your list of 5,000 that you have at your meeting. So, yeah, he'd have to be. He's in the top 3 to 5 players Geelong have produced this year. Geelong are going well. Look, will he make the cut? He'd have to keep going at this rate, but he deserves to be in the squad. Yeah,
who does he jump over the top of if he makes it? You have to get over a Boak or a
Well, that's another level that I don't think he's. Yeah, I don't know. He'd have to. He'd be looking at the 22nd spot, but he'd have to keep going at this rate.
Stokesy, Hawkins is all Australian.
Hawkins a lock. He brings so much more to the table than just goals. He's an unbelievable player. Sam Manigola, he has been unbelievable, but there is a certain level that you have to get to be an All-Australian.
Yeah.
And you have to be – and I don't think – and Cameron, you could probably answer this question, obviously, being on the panel, is that you probably have to do it once before you even start to get in the conversation of the 40. I would have thought – that would have been my opinion – I mean,
yeah.
You've got to do something very special like a Tim Kelly to be able to go directly straight into that.
I joke about the pressure and the long meetings and the fights that we have. It is an enjoyable panel to be a part of because you are talking about the best of the best. And when you're having that debate about that 22nd person, you're comparing two people who have had phenomenal years. And when you get talking about them, you realise just what sort of level you have to play at for, say, a normal season, a 22-game season. You've got to hit a certain level for probably 16 to 18 of those 22 games that is just outstanding to be in the real nitty-gritty of the debate for the 18th to 22nd position. It is a level that is absolutely first class, and it does help, I think, to get on the radar of more of the selection panel, because it's quite a big group, if you've built form over a couple of years and you've shown, he's showing enough and maybe be in the 40, we talk about his name a little bit, and then the following year it goes to another level altogether and you're like, well, hang on, this guy is lock him in on a wing or lock him in at half forward or whatever it is. So, yeah, you certainly build an awareness, unless you're a Tim Kelly, as you said, Stokesy, who just comes in and blows everyone away almost immediately. And you go, oh, hang on a sec. This guy's playing at a level that you can't – we're not looking at him to build. He's nearly winning the Brownlow in his first or second year of footy.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for that question, though, Daniel. Alex asks, why did Brandon Parfitt shave his head?
Yes. Played amazingly with the hair, Stoker, and then gone.
I think what you find in the hub is that the boys are hanging around each other too much. And obviously, there's been an outbreak of lice. Brandon Parfitt has got nits. So they shave his head to stop the spread of that in the hub.
Very good. I did notice Harry went back to his original
colour. Yes.
Last night. Good move. There was a little whisper going around. He tried to give it a little haircut himself and realised he'd shaved off a bit too much and needed to go the whole hog.
That's probably a bit more likely.
With the nits. I'm going with the nits story from now on.
I'll go with it. I'll roll with that. But I think, and as you can tell by a lot of the players, there's some ridiculous haircuts out there.
Right.
And I think they're just getting very bored in the hub.
They're cutting each other's hair.
Partners come into play tomorrow for our
play. Yes.
Haircuts.
They're heading home.
They get out of quarantine to be with their partners now.
And not only.
So things are going to change, Cameron. Focus is going to be different.
Not only are we third on the ladder, but and I don't like calling them wags, they're the other half, they're the partners and wives of our players. Not only are we third on the ladder, but our girls said, there was a little bit in the Herald Sun that said they're the best behaved partners and the hubs.
Oh, I did read that, yes.
So congratulations.
What is it, they're more likely to do Pilates of a morning rather than martinis or something like that?
Hub life sounds like it's been...
Your paper, Scotty.
That is my paper,
really,
yes.
Throwing them under the bus here. They've got a bad rap, the partners and wives of the... You guys, just a little clickbait, just trying to throw the girls under the bus.
I would suggest Brooke Codger didn't really start things off well for the Wags.
One person out of how many? 400?
I know.
What about the ones who've asked for their rooms to be altered and a little bit of renovation going on?
A bit of renovation, wanted a puppy up there. I think it's been okay, but there was a bit of an adjustment period for everyone involved, Matthew, which was reported beautifully by the Herald Sun.
Oh, I thought it was reported very poorly from the Herald Sun.
Sorry, it's just facts.
Let's move on.
She posted a photo of your facial, Matt.
That's fine. He's throw her under the bus for that, but not the whole group of partners and wives who are going up there. You made them all look like they're terrible people who are whining and complaining.
No, we said the Wags were the best behaved. The Geelong ones were magnificent.
To our listeners out there, I am just counting down the days for when we can get back in the same room together and Stokesy and Scotty can actually come to blows one day. It would be entertaining.
I can escape that dirty look if I'm, how many miles away I am in my car. I feel a bit safer than in the same room.
Nothing but love, Scotty. Nothing but love.
That's it, mate.
Lou asks the question, does this season silence the critics that Geelong are only good at KP, Cadinia Park, GMHBA Stadium?
Point, I'm talking about that.
That's a great point.
I don't think they've ever been worried about how good they are. I think they're more worried about how good they are on the MCG, if I was going to be brutally honest.
Don't need to be this year.
That's a very good point, Cameron. That's a very good point.
Where is the grand final going to be played?
Has to be in Queensland, surely. I mean, what the Premier's done for the game is out of this world to let it
Hang on. What the Premier's done for the game or for her state?
Oh, her state, but where else were we going to play all these games?
We're going to play in beautiful Northern Territory.
Yeah, Stokesy would have got that done for us in a heartbeat,
and
Scott.
Thankfully, we're getting a few games there in the next few weeks, Matthew. But, I mean, Perth's got the best stadium, but they'd have to tweak a bit of quarantine to make that happen.
All right, can I pose a hypothetical to you though, Scotty? Games in Brisbane.
Yes.
It is two Victorian teams in the grand final.
Yes.
How many are going to be at the Gabba for the grand final?
You'd get 30. I reckon you'd fill out 30,000. I honestly do.
Because no one from SA or WA will travel over.
True.
No one from New South Wales is allowed to.
I'd back them in to fill it out. There's enough support for the game up in Queensland to fill that place.
For neutral?
For neutral, absolutely. I've got no problem with that. Would it happen in Perth? Would they get 60 for neutral?
For two Victorian teams?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Footy, man.
Well, I don't know. I think Queensland's leading the race because of what they've done to help the game.
If the grand final does go to Gabba, geez, that's a lot of pressure on Brisbane to get there.
Yeah. I don't think they're good enough.
They're a good team.
They got exposed. There's not a lot of trust in Eric the Eel and a few others when it matters.
Did he kick five last week?
Yeah, he played on Ryan Gut. Oh, well, I shouldn't say that. A former great cat.
What is going on with your Dogs, by the way? They were going to be premiership favourites coming into this season way, long time ago.
We just need Ian Norton, and he came back, and Josh Bruce hasn't exactly set the world on fire. So there's a couple
of going to get rid of Joel Corey.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, well, that's the downfall, absolutely.
Jack McRae's continued on the form of what Joel's taught him, but the other midfielders have dropped off, and you've lost one of the great men in Joel Corey.
Dunkley was injured for a couple of months. Well, we'll be okay, but you need to get a move on, a wriggle on.
Just look after your mates.
Well, the more important one, of course, is big thanks to those people who sent the questions in. Please keep them coming in. We need something to talk about. Yes, thank you, Amelia. Friday night footy, Cats taking on Port Adelaide, 7:50 Australian Eastern Standard Time. Metricon Stadium it is, yes, just confirming that. I for some reason I thought it was back over at the Adelaide Oval, but forget about that. It is at Metricon Stadium. It'll be a cracking game of footy, huge Friday night clash. We're not exactly sure who'll be in and out, and we will know before then. Before we do go though, one last thing. Have you so just to paint the picture for our listeners, Ford, big sponsor of the footy club. And through Rex Grell Ford in Geelong, they've over the many, many years, kindly, the captain of the football club gets to drive a Ford vehicle. I fortunately got to do it for 2 years. You just drive it around, you give it back. The day after you retire, they ring you up and quickly say, give me the car back. Obviously, Tom Harley did it. Joel Selwood's done it. Joel Selwood drives a car around at the moment. At the end of this season, Ford have basically said to Joel, don't want the car back. Oh. Now, that doesn't mean Joel is going to keep it. What Joel is going to do and what the club is going to do and what Ford is going to do, it's a Ford Ranger Raptor which I'm told is a magnificent vehicle. Stakes, have you driven one of those?
Yeah, beautiful car.
Beautiful car. Best. What they're going to do
is... Of course, yeah.
We know how many members out there for the Cats have been so kind, so generous and supportive that they've continued their membership despite not being able to go to any of the home games that they'd love to go to. And so many of the fantastic members have continued to support and have kept their money in there and supported the club. And Brian Cook's spoken about how much of an amazing position that's put the club in compared to what he was thinking they were going to be. They've got a chance. These deserving members have got a chance to win Joel Selwood's Ford Ranger Raptor, wow, the one that he's been driving around for this year and won't have done much driving in it this year because he's locked away up north in the hub. So all you got to do is nominate yourself or a member, provided you're a member, of course, who has undergone hardship, rising above challenges, or doing good things for others during this time, perhaps volunteering for community sport, helping with homeschooling, going above and beyond to check in with those in need. We know it's that time where so many people need everyone's support throughout the community. So if you are a Geelong member, a loyal Geelong member who stayed Geelong strong throughout this time, and you are deserving, given that criteria that I just read out, please nominate yourself or a member that you know of. Submit your entry or nomination on the Geelong Cats website by Friday, 4th of September. So what's that? Just under a month. You've got to nominate yourself or somebody that you know, and you could win Joel Selwood's Ford Ranger Raptor. What a prize that would be for somebody who thoroughly deserves it and has done some wonderful things in our community.
That's magnificent. Stokesy, how's the captain's cleanliness would be my first
question. Cleanliness is okay. His driving skills are terrible. So that makes me wonder why. out of our three captains we've had, there's only one person I would trust in my car, and that is the Mr. Tom Harley. Other two, you were a terrible driver, and Selzy is Tom Hawkins backed me up here. He's the worst driver ever come across. I don't know who at four I thought it was a good idea to give him a ride.
I'm a good driver. I'm just a slow, careful driver. And you'd think that I just drive around like a little nanny.
I saw you driving down Packer the other day. You had a bagel in one hand, coffee in one hand.
That is made up. Oh, mind you, I like the sound of a bagel and a coffee.
That is great. Wow. Great.
By September 4th, nominate yourself or someone that you know for any of those wonderful things if you've done.
Do we get to announce it on our podcast?
Well, I hope we do. We are breaking the news on our podcast. Surely we should be selected.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Like the podcast little, you in the back of the train.
Lovely little giveaway, that one. So get them in there. Keep your questions coming in. Thank you for your company on this podcast. Thank you, Stokesy. Thank you, Scotty. We will be back next week, hopefully talking about a big Cats win on Friday night against Port.